Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of Leamington Hour Podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now I hope everyone's having a fantastic time at the moment and you're smashing all your goals. Now on this week's interview I have an amazing guy called Kurt Pickstone who runs a couple of companies, but his main company is Dougie Stone. And he is passionate about helping businesses and helping people develop. Now, he's gone through loads of things in his life, and in this three-part interview, we're going to be talking about his past, his present, and his future in terms of developing him, himself, people around him, and the tools that he can do it. It's a really cool interview, so I hope you enjoy it. And if you want to get in touch with him afterwards, please do. Let's get on! So I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, which is Kurt Pickstone from his business, Dougie Stone. Now, I've known Kurt for quite a while, and he is probably the most passionate person that I've actually met, and he's just a damn good person. I'm chuffed to say that he's on the show, and this show's going to be turned into the podcast, which you'll be able to get a little bit more of a snippet from. But I'm going to stop talking, and I'll pass you on to Kurt because he's a legend. So cheers, cheers, legend. Cheers, Kurt. How you doing?
Oh, love it, Gaz. I tell you what, I just need you in the morning to be sat there and just give me that, just give me that vibe.
Just a mini Gary just, in the corner.
Yeah,
going, hey.
Yeah. In fact, I need it. I might take that bit of the podcast and put it as my ringtone on my phone.
Do it.
Absolutely brilliant. Awesome. Yeah.
Do it. Other people do it. Yeah. So why not?
I think I will.
As I say, I'm really passionate about helping people, and you're passionate about spreading awareness and your business. So tell people who don't know or haven't met you, what do you do?
Well, what I do, Gaz, as you know, but obviously people that don't know me, and that's the whole reason for this sort of interview, is I've got a business called Dougie Stone that I've been running since 2010 when I left corporate life. And a lot of people that I know through networking know me for my passion with dyslexia, and I will probably talk more about that in a bit. But my business basically is fundamentally in two elements. I believe every business is about people and about process. So I have two streams to my business. I have a people section, which is about employee engagement, HR, tapping into people and building teams. And part of the people bit is my dyslexia, dyslexia awareness. So that's the people side of my business. Now, the process side of my business is I do things like, and I can explain it more in detail, I do things like 5S, lean manufacturing, Six Sigma, process improvement, process mapping. Okay. And that helps businesses improve. So my whole business is all about improvement, either team improvement, individual improvement, or business improvement. And it's split into different sections. So I'm not diversing and jumping from one thing to the other. It's a strategy, and it's fundamentally what I can do in all those areas.
No, I think that's great, because the two biggest areas for people are managing businesses and setting up a business is the process and people. So you've got it covered.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, you need motivated people who know what they're doing and train and what have you, and with the right attitude and understand what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah. And you need robust, efficient processes.
Yeah.
And if you've got areas in either of those that are lacking, you will have problems and your competition will outrun you and outrun you faster. So the only way in this competitive market we find ourselves currently is to be big, quicker, faster, more efficient, more agile.
Yeah, time's money. You need to have all the processes in place to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So we'll literally just touch on the processes just a second before we talk about the people.
Yeah.
So in terms of the processes, is there kind of, just tell us a bit more about and go in a bit more depth. Not massive.
Well, I've got a really good, a little story for you guys.
Because we love stories.
Little story, right? Okay. Now, you need to break things down into the most simplistic form, and things can be more complex. And a lot of businesses are very passionate about their products or about what they make, or you need to understand the minute details of their products to understand their business.
Yeah.
You don't.
Okay.
You don't, right? And I'll give you a good example. I went to Bridgestone Tires a few years ago. My background or my job was a bit like a troubleshooter, so that's a lot of things to do. So I was going in there, it was an implementation, was having problems. So first day I gets on site, and one of the guys come up to me and says, "Okay, Kirk, where have you come from? What's your background?" So what do you mean? Have you come from Pirelli? No. Have you come from... And then starts reaming off all these tyre companies.
Yeah.
And I went, "No." And he says, "Well, that's a problem then, isn't it?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, what do you know about tyres?" I said, they're black and round. He went, oh, you know, you need to know about tyres. I said, right, put this into some sort of how my head's working. I said, a vehicle backs onto this bay and you unload tyres. Yeah? You put them into a storage location and they put them onto a system onto stock. He said, yeah. I said, and then the customer, a garage, says, oh, I need one of those, three of those. Mm-hmm. And they order them.
Yeah.
I said, and someone goes and picks them and assembles them, and they go into the back of a truck with the rest of the delivery, and they get delivered, don't they? But yeah. I said, you can apply that to pizzas, to Coca-Cola, to, you know, anything, any products, it's the same. It's a process. Something comes in, gets put in a stock location, gets put on a system, someone orders it, gets picked, gets sent out.
Yeah.
So you need to apply that simplistic way of thinking to everything you do. So if it's a supply chain, it's when does a customer order how do you interact with your customer? How do they order it? How does that get to wherever the product's being made or stored? Mm-hmm. How does it get from the store, from that storage location to the customer, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
And that's what I think too many businesses think about. They make things too overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. If you break it down into some simple steps and look at what areas you've got or what bottlenecks or what problems you've got in those specific areas and eliminate them, you will see your business totally transform.
And that's where you come in. You can highlight that. You can show people, look at the individual areas of their business.
Yeah.
And then you can give them the processes behind it to be able to help them do that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's and all too often than not, the people that are in those businesses know the solutions to the problems.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, it's the manager or the owner of the business thinks they know everything. And actually, those guys and girls that work for you probably know the business better than you and know what the solutions are. And it's about tapping into them, getting them engaged, and your business will just truly explode.
No, it's cool.
And I love it. And I absolutely love it. And what I do, I don't take on projects. When I do projects, I don't take them on for the money. So if someone says, oh, come work for me and it's this. If I don't like the project or I don't like the business, what the business is about or their ethics, I won't go and do it, Gaz.
Spot on.
Yeah? It's got to be something that I think that is a really interesting project. So I'm going to go and work on that.
Cool. That you can get fired up about as well. You can get passionate about.
Yeah.
You can get your teeth into.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we all go to work to earn money and we all run businesses to earn money. Let's not flower it up. A business is only there to make profit. A charity, a business, if it doesn't make profit, it dies.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah. So yeah, I do things because I want my business to grow but I want to do things that I want to work on.
No, that makes sense. So we spoke a bit about the processes.
Yep.
Let's talk about the people, because this is where I love hearing the passion come out when you talk about it. So when it comes to the people,
what can you do? The people, Gaz. I do say I love people and I don't like people as well. It depends how you look at it, you know. But what I've done throughout my career without even realising it was identify talent in the room that people might overlook and think, that person's got something about them. Take a bit of time and see someone grow from someone who's misunderstood or not seen to develop. And a great one is that film with, terrible with names, but it's What Women Want.
Oh, okay.
And everyone ignores the girl who's walking around, but then when he can hear her, he hears her and gets in, and that's what I feel I can do. It's something that I naturally feel or sense things around me and identify talent. And that's where the dyslexia awareness and the dyslexia development needs to be better within the UK and the understanding, because a lot of those people that get overlooked, the What Women Want type of thing, where people don't hear them or don't see them, are those dyslexics and the dyslexic mind. So I do develop people that are not dyslexic, but a lot of people that I interact with within business, I know, even though I've not had them tested or they've not been tested, I know they have dyslexic tendencies. Yeah. So I can see the way that they work and way they solve problems and the way they interact.
Well, I think this is a good point to break now. And then what we'll do, we'll come back and we'll talk more about that. And especially of how the mind works, because I know you've got a real good understanding of that.
Yeah.
You've wrote papers, so it's really good to talk about that. And then talk a little bit more about your story and your background. Is that right?
That's absolutely fantastic.
Spot on. If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones. But mainly, let me know about your story. Let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I'd love to have you on the show. and I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Let's rejoin Kirk and myself for part two of this cracking interview. Right, so we're back here with Kirk Pickstone, and we left off talking about how the mind works if you have got dyslexia. And obviously, I'm guessing there's different levels to start off with, different levels of dyslexia and different points. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about that first?
Yeah, there is different. For me, guys, you know, and I'll say it again, I'm aiming to change the perception of dyslexia in the UK. I think it's totally misunderstood, and it infuriates me the way people react to it or the way people treat it, because people think that you can I'm dyslexic. I've not got this disease.
It's part of you.
So people, the way that it's termed, I know that people are trying to change it, and I want to change it, it's classed as a disability, Disability at Work Act 2010, which is great. I understand that, because it saves people being abused and all the rest of it. But as soon as you label something a disability, people look at it differently. Yeah. It's a negative outlook. And it's also classed as a learning difficulty. But I saw it straight away. That again,
it's a negative connotation.
It's negative. It's a learning difficulty. So you've got learning difficulties. What do you mean you've got learning difficulties? People have not got a learning difficulty. It's the fact, it's the thing that education set up in a way for to help the majority of people and not the individual. Mm. So the dyslexics, if you like, don't fit into that model or don't absorb the information in the same way. I can talk to her about thoughts. So there you go. Yeah. So that's some of the misconceptions are surrounding it. Yeah.
So how do they how do people with dyslexia interpret messages in that case?
Well, as you said earlier on, I didn't answer the question, there's varying levels of degrees, Gaz. Someone can be mildly dyslexic, so, you know, it could be very hard to tell if they're dyslexic, and to extreme cases where people can't even understand things and read and all the rest, and can be quite debilitating for people. But the thing is, it's how the dyslexia is how the brain stores, retrieves and brings out information.
Okay.
And it's very chaotic. It's a very chaotic way of storing information, because I've said before that the language is made up of several elements. There's the way you write things, the way the words spell, and the way your hand will move, the motor skills.
Yeah.
And then dyslexic, that's not fixed, because your brain goes through levels of fixing connectors in your brain. So you'll get that at the minute I've got a teenager. So he's going through that, his brain is rewiring itself and the hormones and everything. Mm. Well, you go through that through stage of your life. And I don't believe that the dyslexics, those links are fused together. So it's still all open like it is when you're very, very young.
Yeah.
So that's what I think the beauty of it is.
Yeah. So if you're looking at kind of a, I know you've spoken about a library before, that, talk about a library and give someone an example of that.
Yeah, so for example, if in the non-dyslexic mind, I'll have to explain to people, it's simple, is a library of information. So if you was going in to retrieve a book, so in this case, we're trying to retrieve a word, or how we spell some, you go to the library and you take the information off the shelf and it's there, nice and neat, brilliant, and it's very quick, and you put that information back.
Yeah.
So that works. So if you're requesting something, like I always say, asking for a pen, you quite quickly go and say pen or write pen and spell the word pen.
Yeah.
In the dyslexic mind, it's not like that. It's a chaotic system. Mm-hmm. So everything is just all sloshing around. Yeah. So I always say like a bucket or a cylinder. So it's almost like a lucky dip. There's things that are grouped together. So things that are similar might be grouped together. So the dyslexic goes and wants to write pen and might ask to write pencil or ask for a pencil instead and get things confused.
Okay.
But there's advantages.
I was going to say, that's...
The advantage of those systems, the disadvantage of the non-dyslexic mind is because it is so rigid, you're only looking at the information that's close to you or what's relevant. So if you're working, I don't know, in an engineering environment and you've always worked in a particular way, you will know from your conditioning and from what you've learned and what you can see in your library in front of you, because it's efficient. The human and the brain is trying to make the most efficient thing all the time. So it cuts information out and dumps information. All that sort of stuff's going on all the time. Yeah, we're getting, that's why you can't remember people that you know or work with 20 years ago, because your brain's not used it that often. It gets rid of it.
Yeah.
Or it stores it somewhere else. It moves it down. A bit like your computer.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You've only got so much activity in there and it gets rid of it. I've just sort of lost my thread a bit. So, it's just amazing, Gaz. Amazing how the brain works.
Yeah, no, it is good. And when you're going into a space or a room or you're talking to people and you spot this.
Yeah.
For me, I've always connected dots which some other people haven't seen.
Yeah.
So I think, okay, well, I need to do this, so therefore I can do this. But actually, if I do that, I can do this at the same time. And it becomes a spider web of different things, which is really cool. And it means that I'm creative and it works.
Mm.
I know when you came and did a talk at my networking event, and I think that was actually the first time we properly got introduced to each other. You spoke about how dyslexia is great, and how dyslexia could, you made a link between entrepreneurs and dyslexia.
Yes.
So why is there a link?
There's a link because I was talking about the rigid system we just had.
Yeah.
The link is because of that chaos, you can actually make links to things. And I always use some famous people like Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is a great example of his mind. He was dyslexic, so he made links with things. He was stuck in this what's in front of me. His brain's open and the chaotic work. I mean, when I heard about the things like the iPod and the iPad, when they brought the iPad, I thought, well, why anyone want a blooming iPad? It's nuts. And I'm dyslexic. But he's made links to things and iTunes and things like that. So he's not just stuck within the here and the now and what he's known before. Your brain is open and you're going, well, what about that and what about that?
Yeah.
And it might not always work. No. But you're quite happy, like a young child will be, to try and play and experiment and make mistakes, fall over or whatever. And that the dyslexic mind is like that. You're happy to experiment and play and it's not daft. Nothing's daft.
No.
You know what I mean? You just got to keep, you know, I've come up with loads of ideas within my business life and they've gone, oh, that would never happen. That's stupid. Why would you want to do that? But it works.
Yeah. So if you've got someone in your business who's got that kind of mind and who can explore these ideas, can you give anybody any tips about how to kind of utilise them? Because this is a mind of knowledge. This is a creative person who's just waiting to get out.
Yeah, unfortunately, what happens is that a lot of dyslexics suffer, and I've said it before, of confidence, because there's this inner thing all the time, and I'm saying to you before about classifications.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to college and I'm a qualified butcher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realise at the time I was dyslexic. And I remember going to my parents saying, oh, feel sorry for that lad in our class, he's dyslexic. I was dyslexic. I didn't know. And he used to record his class and then go off and type it all up. So what you find is dyslexics tend to be very self-aware, very conscious and not got the confidence. So it's identifying those people that are quite quiet in your organisation, but you'll see sparkles of genius. And unfortunately, this is where the part of the issue is. Some of the leaders or the managers that are managing those people are still stuck in this, you know,
just this one mindset.
Yeah. And then they see this person, and say, what's going on about? So it's about, we need to change the people at the top to understand.
Yeah.
But we also, if they are open to it, have a look at your business, because if you've got employees, you'll have 10 to 15% of your employees, and in some industries it'll be more,
yeah,
I know it is, there'll be guys there that'll be coming up with some stupid ideas and some ways of working, and they might get frustrated when they try to get the point across or not be very clear in where they're doing it.
Mm.
I'd start looking at those people.
Yeah.
Because if you've got those people in the room and give them a bit of a free flow, and I love doing brainstorming sessions, Gaz. I get taking a team of people out of an organisation, do brainstorming, post-it notes on the wall, and you can, within 3 or 4 hours, you can come up with quite a lot of solutions and then narrow it down to some fixed points.
Brilliant.
So identify, there's people in your organisation you need to really look at,
yeah,
you know, that you're overlooking.
Sweet. I know you've got, tell us a bit about your story. So you're passionate about this, you get it and you understand this, but where did this all come from?
It came from, ended up quite a senior leader within some organisations. I worked for some global businesses and I was 44 and I went from a business where I was my interactions were very vocal. It was presentations, it was team building, all that sort of brilliant. I was really quite successful at it. And to a business where I started doing report writing, that's where it highlighted for me, because my report writing was, I had issues with it. There was things I was dropping. That's where it comes from. A lot of people will discover it. Now, that business didn't understand it, didn't sort of get it, was very critical about what I was doing, even though I believe I was a brilliant leader, because I was. And I'll say that. Why not? You know, I think I was. Yeah. I look back through my career and I've always had great teams, so I must be a good leader.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. You
know, I can point to loads of businesses. I believe I'm a good leader. And so, but it's frustrating because, hang on, I'm a good leader, but I'm here and I feel terrible. And it really put me into a really bad place at home. I felt like I was going to have a nervous breakdown. I got to the point where I didn't want to go to work, felt sick going out the door in the morning. It was absolutely disgusting. Mm. So I decided to, something had to come. And there was an opportunity. I mean, I quit my job, but I didn't quit my job. There was a potential for redundancy. They wanted me to move to another site, and I actually took redundancy because I thought, I cannot physically do this anymore.
No.
And I actually said to my wife, I don't want to work again. Not work for any, just I don't want to work.
I
didn't want to go out of the house. I didn't want to work. No. So my wife actually went and she went and started part of our business. She does IT project management, so that I could heal, lick my wounds. She was very supportive of me.
Yeah,
and gave me my confidence back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at that time I went to university. She actually pushed me to go to university in some respects, something I wanted to do, but she gave me the confidence to go.
Yeah, so you made redundant. Right. Well, chose redundancy.
I could have stayed,
to university.
Went to university at 44. 44. And did a master's degree in global entrepreneurship. I still can't believe when I say it. It's like nuts. Yeah. Absolutely nuts. And I researched are dyslexic predisposed entrepreneurs. That was my dissertation. Yeah. And the reason that I wanted to do that when I went, because I could have done it about a whole host of things at university, my degree. Mm. But I wanted to do that because of my experience. And I thought, well, if I've gone through this, how many other people are going through this?
Yeah, true.
How many other businesses don't understand what I'm about and what the other 23 million people around Europe are? Because that's probably about the percentage, a number of people as a percentage. Mm-hmm. So my aim has been since then was to and I've been looking for a while now, how do I stop people going through the things that I'm doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want to teach people how to read and write, because that's not me. Teachers do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to teach people how to rewire the brains and all the rest of it. I want to give people confidence, because that's what I'm good at. I know I'm good at, because I've done it throughout my career.
Yeah.
People, confidence, educate businesses, and hopefully educate education.
Brilliant. That's cool. And how can you do that? Do you go around speaking?
Yeah, public speaking for me, Gaz, is really, really, truly important. So public speaking to raise awareness, because the more people I get to speak in front of, the more people are aware of it, and might actually go away and think, actually, he's got a point here. I'm going to have a look at it a bit further.
Yeah.
And they don't always have to come to me for that help and advice. I'd love them to. I'm about to embark on some workshops for people. Because I've actually done a lot of stuff where I've gone into businesses and part to improve their businesses. We've got back to the process that we were before. But what I do is tap into that those dyslexic minds without them even knowing it, and get them on board and get them engaged. So so for me,
so you've got workshops, you've got public speaking.
Workshops, yeah. I'm quite happy to work on people on one-to-one. But nice. I'm going to start in the next few months, I'll start doing some webinars, because to hit a wider audience, if I do things like webinars, then people can interact. Perfect. And do that. So Skype and webinars will be brilliant for that.
Brilliant. So if someone did want to speak to you further about any of the points that you've raised, how would they get in contact with you?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Dougie Stone. That's DUGGYSTONE. I'm also got a website, which is dougiestone.com. Mm-hmm. And so go through to them two platforms and either contact me through my website or drop me a line on Twitter. And I tend to follow most people, unless you start sending me automatic direct messages saying buy my stuff, and then I just delete them. But if someone is genuinely interested, then just follow me on there.
Yeah.
Start talking to me. Let's interact.
Hey, fair enough. That's cool. Well, cheers, Kirk. We're going to be having a special podcast section as well. So if you do want to catch up a little bit more, then download the podcast when it comes out, and I'll put links to the show notes when it does. Kirk, you've been amazing. Cheers for that.
Thanks, Gaz. Thank you.
With every podcast, we have a little podcast extra, which is just for you guys listening now. It's not available anywhere else. So let's get cracking with Kirk's podcast extra.
Okay, so I'm joined with Kirk Pickstone, or Carl Pilkington, or whatever name you want to call him. And in this podcast section, he's just going to be departing three top tips to help people with dyslexia. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, that's cool.
So, fire away. What's your top tip number one?
My top tip number one, Gaz, because dyslexics are get distracted very easily and by noise and interaction with other people, is go and find a place that's quiet to work in. So if you've got a room somewhere or a library, or you know, fortunate to have a cabin or something like I have in the garden, and you want to do something, go and find a quiet location. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, if you can't find a quiet location, this is something key for employers to actually think about as well. Might sound a bit counterproductive, but having headphones in, okay, because then you're only getting one constant noise and you're getting no distraction. So you've got a bit of background music playing or something, which is fine, you know. Mm-hmm. Quiet space, take yourself away from the distractions.
Nice, cool. That's a good top tip. And that's for employees and just by themselves.
And
yeah,
people might wonder why I wear headphones. It's counterproductive, I have headphones in, health and safety and all that. But actually, I know a couple of people like myself who actually find it easy to zone out by putting headphones in and they don't get distracted, because mm-hmm. once a dyslexic gets distracted, they go on a different track, yeah, and they forget where they were and it makes them look like they don't know what they're doing. So yeah,
makes sense.
Top tip number one.
Nice one. What's your top tip number two?
Top tip number two, a lot of people have them, and this might be a good one for parents who are considering whether to get their child to have a mobile phone, a smartphone and things like that, and think it's just a toy. Well, actually, when I discovered I was dyslexic back in 2010, I used to have a lot of problems in work of double booking myself,
okay,
or missing appointments, or missing dates and times. And when I got my first iPhone, which was a 3GS at the time, that's the one we're going back, I called it my other brain.
Okay.
And since then, I put every appointment, and I always put alerts on for appointments that I'm making, or people's birthdays and things like that, because upsetting if you forget someone's birthday, as an example, but equally, if you're in business or you're going for an interview, if you miss that interview, then it's not very good for your perception of yourself.
That makes
so
sense.
For me, investing some technology, great, it doesn't have to be, I like Apple, but it doesn't have to be an Apple, but use the data, the things that are on the systems, the calendars, so use them. Thank you. They're easy to use. And most people have them. So if you're a parent, you've got a child, and you're wondering whether to, and they're dyslexic, get them a smartphone.
Makes sense.
Get a cheap one. But as long as it's got that functionality in, it'll
help them. To help them organise and get their mind in.
Because it's frustrating when you miss something, or, you know, it's not very nice. But at least you know everything's there. And you can record things. The great thing about a smartphone, I've used it as well, you might want to know how to spell something. You can go away quietly. So buy a smartphone.
Yeah, cool. And your top tip number three?
My top tip number three for people out there is get a mentor. Doesn't necessarily have to be someone like myself who does it as well as a profession, but just someone that you know and trust that will help and advise you, because, like I've said before, confidence with dyslexics is a big issue. So if you've got someone that can help you and believe in you and put you forward, a great example I had was when I came out of work and I was really down, I was on a nervous breakdown, my wife still believed in me and she was like my mentor at the time. And I've gone on to use business mentors now, but find someone that you can go and talk to quietly, privately, and definitely get a mentor. That's my top tip number three.
Nice one. So if I can just have a quick recap, one-liners, what's your top three tips?
So my top three tips are: find somewhere quiet to work, keep your brain focused. Number two is invest in some technology like a smartphone to record where you're going and what you're doing, and number three is get a mentor.
Hey, spot on. Cheers, Kirk.
Absolutely, thank you so much, Kirk Pickstone. I absolutely love talking to this guy. He's an absolute legend, and if you get a chance to read any of his articles, check out his website, check out his Twitter feed, Facebook feed, LinkedIn profile, because this guy is going places and he is going to take everybody with him. He is a legend in the making. Now, if you like this podcast, please share it with everybody that you know. Put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, put it on LinkedIn, put it on Snapchat that you saw it. Just spread the word. Use the hashtag Glenn's Now Podcast and let's get everyone involved. Now, all of these interviews on here have been shown, have been heard on our radio show on Radio Warwickshire called Leamington Hour Radio Show, which happens every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30, and is then repeated between Wednesday between at 5 and 6 in the evening. So if you want to check it out, go to Radio Warwickshire. I've got a cracking interview lined up for next week, so I hope you all have a great week and take care.